of the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. And we'll start with the first verse. It's probably a very familiar reading. We're going to read about 10 verses of Scripture tonight, and we'd ask that you'd pray for us as we try to preach the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. And it says, "If brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not all be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith." And if we could take for a lesson text tonight a verse of Scripture to base our thought upon, it would be, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Or we'll take for the first part of that, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And if we could title it, that would be what it would be, "Bear ye one another's burdens." You know, I think many times, us as God's children, we get so caught up in the things that we're doing that we forget everybody else around us. I know a lot of times I'm that way, and it's not a self-centered thing. It's that everybody has their own things that they're going after, their own life that they're living, their situations that they're around. You know, us as God's children, we have a lot of things that complicate our minds every single day. Maybe I hit on that a little bit this morning, but as I thought about bearing one another's burdens, I thought about what that meant. You know, this morning and in different times past, I have heard many times all of the requests that have been made, and tonight and other times when we ask for prayer requests, and I'm so thankful when people bring their burdens before the church. I'm thankful when people can share their burdens with one another. I'm thankful that I have a church family and a group of people that I believe will pray for me when I have a burden. But I want you to know and understand tonight that every single one of us need our own burdens to pack. Every single one of us should pray that God will burden us to the point that nothing will satisfy us, but to see that burden lifted, to see it fulfilled, to see whatever it is that God places upon us, see it be in a place where it is doing something. I've thought many times about burdens, and we talk about them, and sometimes I wonder if we really understand what they are. You know, I've heard many times people say, "Well, I have a burden for such and such person that they would be saved." And I've thought many times how I've had burdens for different people. Brother Wheely has a son that is lost, and there have been different places that he's been, and that little boy will always be upon my heart. Everywhere that I go and I see him, I think of that little boy. Oftentimes I'm not even around Brother Wheely very much, but I think about that little boy and I want him to be saved, and I hope someday that they can call and say, "Guess what? He got saved." You know, you pack burdens for different things. I have a burden for this church tonight. If I didn't have one, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be the pastor if I didn't have a burden. But I have a great desire to see God's house, His work, His ministry be fulfilled and love people saved. That should be our burden tonight. Maybe you have burdens for different people. Maybe you have burdens for your grandchildren or your children or people that you know in your workplace or people that live down the street from you, people you see in the supermarket. Maybe you have burdens for this church, and I hope all of us that are members of this church have a burden to see this church grow. And those that are members of other churches, I hope you have a burden to see our church grow and to see lost people saved. Our churches, our people, we need burdens tonight. But I'm going to tell you, much more than that, we need to help each other bear those burdens. Sometimes I have burdens that are just about too much for me to pack. Sometimes God gives me things and I carry them. And I want you to know tonight that I carry a lot of burdens for a lot of people tonight. And I'm not saying, "Oh, well, good, you're doing all of these things," because it's not about that. But you know, when you ask God for a burden, He'll give you one. But you've got to sincerely ask for a burden. And then when God gives you the burden, take it and pack it. Because God has entrusted you with this burden. He's given you this to pray for and to seek out an end for. There have been different ones, and I told you about Brother Wheely and his son. There's been other ones that I have known in times past, and I've seen them kneel at an altar time and time again. And Bethany Knight, she's Jennifer Knight's sister's daughter. Every time I'd preach anywhere that Bethany was, she'd go to the altar and she'd seek the Lord for hours and hours and hours. And we'd stay with her until she got done praying. And one night I got a phone call and it said, Bethany got saved. What a joy it is when your burdens can be lifted because somebody's been saved. What a joy it is. And I want you to know something tonight. I'm not ready for this burden for this church to go anywhere anytime soon. I love packing of the burden for this church because I love this church. And I want to see her grow. You know, when you have a burden and you love that burden, you know, that burden gets in bed with you at night. That burden radiates out of everything that you are. You ask everybody you know to pray. There have been many times people I don't even know, I say, pray for our church at Mount Calvary. We need the Lord's help. Pray for such and such person. They need to be saved. That's bearing one another's burdens. And I believe the Bible tells us to bear burdens for one another. Bear burdens for His church. Bear burdens for His cause. Bear burdens for the missionaries. Bear burdens for Sunday school. Bear burdens for Wednesday night. Bear burdens for Sunday night. But most of all, we cannot leave our first love, the lost. They have to be our first burden, first and foremost. This community that we live in, we need to bear a burden for her. We need to bear a burden for our neighbors. I have neighbors that I've never met there in Franklin. Neighbors that I'll never know. We live across the street from a church that I wouldn't affiliate with. And there are people that go there and they know my parents and they know me. And I see them gather in on a Wednesday night or for a special service and my heart breaks. Because I know what they're teaching. You know, we have burdens for different people. Sometimes we get these burdens and we really don't know what to do with them. Have you ever had one of those? Get a burden that's rolled on top of you and you just really don't know what to do. I believe God wants us to take that burden and bring it back to Him. You say, preacher, that sounds kind of strange. I'm going to tell you something. When we get a burden, we need to pray about it. We get a burden, it needs to get in bed with us. We tell lost people all the time, you've got to get serious about your soul's condition. You've got to be serious about the place that you're going, brothers and sisters. This church tonight, we've got to be serious about our burdens. They've got to go to the dinner table with us. They've got to go with us. We're going down the road. We've got to bear burdens tonight. I told you about this afternoon, after our business meeting, I told you to be praying for a revival helper. And you say, preacher, next August is a long time away. I told you that before I'd turn around once. It'd be here. January's rolling back around. I want us to have a burden this next year for this church as long as she's here. To have a burden for lost souls that even though they may not be here now, that someday they will be and they'll need to be saved. We can't just look in the now all the time. We need to pack burdens for the future. We need to pack burdens for the ones that aren't here tonight. Pack burdens for the ones that are coming in the next few months. Pack burdens for God's church because I want you to know tonight, she doesn't have to always be here. If God's people don't get burdened, if God's people don't get concerned, I believe you're going to see churches that begin to dry up and go away all over the place. I believe, and you've heard me say this many times, about August 20th of 1972, somebody, a group of people met together somewhere, and maybe it's in the house they used to set upon this land. But they gathered in here, and I believe they had a vision to see a church established here, a church to grow and a church to prosper, a church to reach Nashville, a church to reach Nolensville Road. I believe they had a burden for that. Here she is in 2015 and she's still teaching. And she's still preaching that you must be born again. If they didn't pack burdens, we wouldn't be here tonight. If we don't pack burdens for the future, will there be anywhere for them to be? You know, I don't have grandchildren yet. I don't even have children yet. I'm not married yet. But you know, I think many times if the Lord allows me to have children, if He allows me to have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I'm going to want them to be saved.
I'm packing burdens for people that aren't even alive. I'm packing burdens for people that don't even exist. But that's okay, because I believe God wants us to pray for everything, for everyone, for His church. Oh, His church is so precious. I don't believe I can ever exclaim that enough. I thought about these verses of Scripture after that, about sowing and reaping, what we're doing here at Mount Calvary tonight, what we're doing every time that we meet together, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we're sowing. We're just sowing right now. That's okay. You know, I got to listen to the CD where you all met together after the pastor left last time on the Wednesday night, or the Sunday night. I listened to that and I heard someone say that somebody hadn't been saved at Mount Calvary in such and such time. How long has it been? That's okay. I'd love to see people get saved now. I want them to get saved now. If they come in, I want to see them saved. But sometimes we've got to go through a sowing period so that we can reap. Sometimes we've got to go through a period where we're getting ourselves in shape that when they come in, we can bear burdens for them. You know, I've thought many times, am I in a shape to bear a burden for 20 or 30 lost people to come in the door? Am I in a shape that I'm really, really ready to pray for all of them? You know, a burden isn't something you carry on Sunday morning. About 12:30, you say, well, that burden's gone. I can be done with that till next week. I believe those burdens go with us all the time. You know, we're sowing now. I'll tell you, I'm getting to reap too. I'm getting to reap the blessings that God has for us. We look around tonight and you may say, we're low in number. We don't have very many here. But I want you to know there's reaping tonight. It wasn't a few months ago that this church didn't have Sunday night services, but she's back having Sunday night services. The doors are open tonight. There's an opportunity for people to get saved. If that's not showing our burden to this community, I don't know what is. If it's not showing them that we're still here and we're not going anywhere, and we want you to be saved, I don't know what is. And we've got to continue with that. I told you that burdens and sowing, they go with us. You know, I, as a preacher, and maybe I'm preaching this more to myself tonight than I am anybody else that's here tonight, but there are many times that I leave here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and I remember all the prayer requests that are asked. I remember when somebody says, well, you know, I'm having surgery, or I'm having this problem, or I'm having that problem. I don't think sometimes people can truly understand what a burden the pastor carries for the congregation that he serves. You all go home with me, you don't even know it. You go home with me and I'll be driving down the road and I'm thinking all of you. When you all leave here tonight, I'll be thinking, I hope they all made it home safely. I'll go home tomorrow night and you all have gone through a day and I have a burden for you all. I carry that. It goes to the dinner table. It goes wherever I might be. I think about this church and I think about it all the time. But you know, I'm not complaining because I love that. I want God's cause to stay in my mind all the time, because someday the sowing will be over. We'll still be sowing, but we'll be reaping more than we've ever been able to reap in our life. I believe that. I believe that more than anything. I believe God wants His people to reap. The Bible says over in Psalms, it says, sow in tears and reap in joy. You know, in God's work, in His church, and in the ministry, in your lives, there's going to be a lot of sowing and tears. We're going to go through things that are going to break our hearts. We're going to see things that are going to break our hearts. But I'm so thankful that the tears won't always last. There's joy when we reap with what God has given us. Oh, can you just imagine tonight? People getting saved. People getting baptized. I told you this afternoon, as we talked about the handrails coming up, I couldn't wait to be able to use those, because I was thankful that they're there, that they'd be very useful to me so I don't slip and fall. And for someone else going into the baptismal pool so they don't slip and fall. But I want those things to be used. I have a burden to see a people's lives being transformed. I believe that's something we must carry a burden for as well. You know, when God saves a person, I've told you many times that He changes them. But I'm looking for lives to be transformed. I believe when we start bearing burdens for one another, they'll transform us. When you begin to pray and you begin to listen to such and such person's burden, and you've ever watched somebody that just really has a burden for something, oh, it just consumes them. I have seen, there was many times I've been in churches where people will stand up and they'll say, I've got a burden for so-and-so. And they're just racked and shaking, and they're just begging the Lord to help them and to intercede. And I believe that us as God's children, I believe we have the power to intercede for people. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we can save anybody. But I believe that we can pray for people. I believe that we have the ability to pray for anybody, anywhere, anytime. I believe there's people tonight that don't want us to pray for them, but I believe we still ought to be praying for them. I believe this city of Nashville, they don't understand what a joy, what opportunity that they have. They have God's churches right at their fingertips, and they don't even realize it. They don't even know that we're praying for them. They don't even know that we care about them. But I want you to understand tonight that we've got to bear burdens for this city. You know, every time that I pass out of Davidson County, my heart breaks a little bit because I have to go back to Kentucky. I love living there. But when you have a burden for a place, I believe you have a burden for the community. You have a burden for the place that it's in. I was driving through the city downtown this morning. I didn't go around Briley Parkway. I came right down through the city, and I got there and I could see the big skyscrapers, and I could see the outline of all of the buildings there. And my heart just filled, and I thought, the Lord is in this place, and I know that He wants to save people here. We've just got to take it to them. We've got to be willing to take this gospel wherever we've got to. I'm so thankful that we have this ability to put our sermons online. I believe that's a great work. I believe it's a missionary work. I believe they're going out to places that we don't even realize. We have to have a burden tonight for those around us that are lost and undone without the Lord. I heard Sister Stella say one time that, I believe it was Sister Stella that said she had a burden for the city of Nashville. I believe that's what she said. It may have not been her. But you know, that's what we need tonight. Honest, sincere, true burdens for lost people. You know, when I have a burden for someone, I want to pray for them. But I want other people to help me pray for them. I want other people to help me pack them. And we're going to try to get these scriptures in here if the Lord will help us. It says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You may say, preacher, it just said, let everyone bear each other's burdens. I believe that when we get a burden, I believe we want to share it. I believe we should share it. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because I share my burdens with you, just because I let you know about them, doesn't mean I'm trying to give you my burdens. I'm still packing the burdens. They're still mine. I still have them. And I'm going to pack them until something's done about it. And I believe that when the burdens are lifted, I believe that we're able to join in those things. And I'm thankful that when God's people bring their burdens in and something happens with them, we can rejoice together. I like to rejoice. I believe you like to rejoice. But it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So I want to ask you tonight, what's your burden? If you say, preacher, I don't have one, find one. Preacher, I don't want one. Well, you ought to want one. If you don't have one for lost, something's wrong. If we don't have one for our churches, something's wrong. You know, those are burdens that every single one of us should bear individually. But we should also bear them collectively. I love altar prayers. You may say, preacher, it's just a prayer where everybody gathers in together. But there's something special about praying together. There's something special about coming together and uniting ourselves in prayer so that God will hear us and our prayers will be lifted. And I believe that when God's people come together in earnest prayer, I believe things happen. You know, we read over in the book of Acts, read over many times in the Bible when God's people would begin to pray and things happen. There's an acronym, a saying out there now, and it's PUSH, pray until something happens. You know, I believe us as God's children, we have to earnestly pray every day that we live. I believe our job is to pray. I believe we have the greatest tool in this whole entire world. We have the most effective tool. We have the most powerful tool at our disposal. Preacher, you're talking foolish. I may be. But I certainly believe that God's people, when they unite themselves, and if we read over in the book of Acts, and I read these scriptures maybe a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, about God's people coming together in one accord, and the things that happen because of coming together in one accord. And then when we get here, when we've come together in one accord, and I believe this church is very much in one accord and in unity, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's a lot of places tonight that aren't in unity, and that breaks my heart. I believe when God's people come together, they need to be striving for the exact same things. They need to have the same agenda on everything. They need to have the same passion for the same things. I want to tell you something. We read about a church over in the Revelation, over in the book of Revelations, and the Lord told it. He said, you have lost your first love. You have given up on your first love. I want the Lord to never be able to say to Mount Calvary Church, you have lost your first love, and therefore I must remove your candlestick. Brothers and sisters, tonight we must bear burdens for one another. We must bear burdens for this church. I'm going to read a few more scriptures for you, if the Lord will be our helper tonight. If He'll help us find these scriptures. I believe they're very applicable to what the Lord has placed upon our heart. And I'm thankful tonight that the Lord allows us from time to time to have these thoughts. I was sitting up here and these thoughts came to my mind, and they're in 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter. And maybe I've read these before here. I can't remember right off the top of my head. 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter. And this is wonderful scripture. And it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I believe Paul was telling Timothy here. He says we have these different kinds of prayer. And I believe there is different kinds of prayer. I don't believe it's all the same. I believe there's different ways that we approach the Lord's throne. Now, every time that I go to the Lord, I don't always ask for things. I tell you many times, sometimes a simple thank you is a wonderful thing for the Lord to hear. And I believe that's a type of prayer. I believe giving thanks to the Lord is something that we're supposed to do. Supplications, begging for things, asking for things. I'm going to tell you, when you have a burden, sometimes those burdens get heavy, and you're asking, you're begging for the Lord to give you some relief. Now, you may say, preacher, you've asked for it, now you ought to suffer with it. I believe that. But when you're praying for it, I believe God is working on the other end of things. I believe He's going to see the end of it at some point. I believe that we need to go into supplications for lost people. Now, I don't believe that our supplications on behalf of the lost person matter, but I believe when someone is lost, we need to be praying and asking the Lord to save their souls, to get whatever it is out of their way, that the lost person would get themselves in a shape that they would be willing to get saved. I believe that's important. Prayers seems pretty standard. Intercessions. What is you? I may have already mentioned that, but that is interceding for someone else, praying on behalf of someone else. You know, when people, and I believe this is very true, when people ask us to pray for someone, and I feel it's an honor when people say, "Will you pray for such and such? Will you pray for this person? Will you pray for this or that?" You know, sometimes we begin to hear these people now say, "Will you pray for this person or that person or this thing or that thing?" And we'll think, well, how in the world can I remember all of that? But you know, I believe God already knows our hearts. You know, I pray many times. There's a lot of these things that are asked on Sunday morning that I cannot simply remember by Thursday of the week. But I'm asking the Lord, whatever is hurting those people, whatever is breaking their hearts, Lord, would you please help them? I believe that's an intercessory prayer. I believe we're interceding for one another, and I believe God hears those prayers. I believe it's important that we intercede for our brothers and sisters. You know, when they're hurting and they ask the church to pray, I believe it's our job to pray. When people bring their requests before the church, I believe it's our job to help them pray. I believe it's our privilege to help them pray. You know, I have thought many times, not because of, I don't want to lift myself up because I know tonight that I am nothing, But when people will ask you to pray, don't take it as something that's wrong, or don't take it as something that is annoying or gets in your way. Think of it as a privilege that someone is finding enough confidence in you that they're asking you to pray. They're sharing their burdens, and the Bible says to bear, and I've told you, bear ye one another's burdens. It's important that we do that. In giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings. I'm going to try to finish if the Lord will be our helper, but I believe every single one of us tonight should have a burden for our nation. We should have a burden for this country. You know, in the next few months, in the next year, we have a great challenge, a great battle set before us. We have an opportunity in our nation to elect a new president. And you say, preacher, you're getting ahead of yourself a long way. I believe we need to pray for our nation in that. I believe it's important that we pray for our leaders of this nation. I believe we should have burdens for our local community, our city community, our state community, our national community. And I believe there are even some that are world leaders that are out there, and they're making decisions that affect us. Brothers and sisters, not only do we need burdens for those around us, we must bear burden for our nation. It says, for kings, pray for your kings, for all that are in authority. For why? For what reason? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in all honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What a joy it is, and I know you all tonight well enough that I can say this, that every single one of us enjoy a quiet and peaceable life. Now, saying all of that, I want to say this. Sometimes God gives you that burdens and He will make your life just as miserable for a few days, a few months, however long you pack that burden. Not all burdens are miserable. Please don't let me paint that picture. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe a burden will shake you up to the point that you're walking different, talking different, acting different. I believe that's what happens. But I believe if we'll do these things, even though we've got the burden, we can still live a quiet and peaceable life. I believe the Lord wants us to do that. I believe His job is His teachings here. Paul was telling Timothy to do these things. I believe he was trying to tell him, if you will do these things, if you will commit yourselves to doing these things, your life will be quiet and peaceable. I believe for far too long, and you can disagree with me if you want to, that is quite all right. But I believe for far too long, we as God's people have gone burdenless. We have gone burdenless for those around us. We've gone burdenless for our churches. We've gone burdenless for our nation. And we see the shape that it's gotten us in a lot of cases. We see the shape that it's gotten us in around us. It just seems every day we see the consequences of not having a burden. But I believe more than anything, it's time that we bear burdens more now than we ever have in our entire life. And when you have a burden, please bring it for us to bear with you. You know, I think many times we're afraid that we might inconvenience someone with a burden or with a prayer request or with something that's on our heart. But I believe if we'll just be honest with ourselves, we love the ability to help those around us that we love. We love to help our church family. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm preaching to the choir, really, when I say this. But when you come to church, when you have a wonderful church family and people that love you and people that are praying for you, that is one of the greatest joys in this life that you will ever know. Why is that? It's because you have people that love you, the people that care about you, people that want to see you succeed, people that want to see you do well. I'm a firm believer that us as Mount Calvary Church and the ones that are represented here tonight, I believe that our churches love us. They want to see us happy and doing well, and they want to help us pack our burdens. Now, I've shared with you some of my burdens tonight, and don't you go away from here saying, Brother Taylor said he was miserable because he had a burden for the church. Please, please, please don't think that. I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest burdens that I've ever packed is this church. But I don't believe I'm packing alone. I believe I have a wonderful group of people that pack it with me every single day. I believe it goes with them. I don't believe as soon as they walk out of here, they forget about Mount Calvary Church. I'm going to tell you something, and I'll close. I lay down most nights, and I think, well, man, I'm really going to get a good night's sleep tonight.
And about the time that my mind begins to shut off, I'll start thinking about every single one of you. I'll start going through the congregation that gathers in on Sunday morning and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I'll begin to think of all of you, and my mind begins to go around, and I wonder how they're doing today. I wonder how their day went, I'm not going to call you all at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. You'd probably be very upset with me if I did that. But I wonder about you all. And I think about many times the ones that are lost and connected with this church. I think about Mr. Williams. I think about Shelton. I think about all the ones, all of your grandchildren, all of your children. Think about them, and I pray for them that the Lord would bring them to an altar of prayer. It doesn't have to be here. I'd love to see them get saved here. I would love that more than you all know. But to hear about them getting saved is a great joy. And I know you pack burdens for them, and I sure would love to see them. Your family members, I know you pack burdens for them, and I think about them. I don't even know most of them, but I think about them. You know, that's one of the greatest joys of being a pastor, is the ability to love and care for a group of people that you love selflessly. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege. And I'm thankful that the Lord placed Mount Calvary as a burden upon me. Now, don't take that as a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing for me. And I promise you that as long as He allows me to pack the burden, I'll do my best to carry it with everything that I have. And I pray that you all will join in with me and carry the burden for this church, carry the burden for the lost. And let's not think just about now. Let's think toward the future and the ones that will be here in years to come that are going to need salvation before it's everlasting too late. We need a burden for them already. We need a burden for this nation. May God bless you is our prayer. Bear ye one another's burdens. Let's stand and let's have a song.